Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for all these wonderful testimonies that we have heard concerning the greatness of the goodness of God in our lives. And we give you the praise and glory. Now, Lord, for a few minutes as we look at your word, bless our hearts in the word of the Lord. Receive all the glory in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody says,
Amen.
Amen. I want to give a short exhortation on the wisdom and the power of God. Amen. Now, remember, a few weeks ago, we talked about trusting in the Lord and not leaning onto your own understanding. And that's the reason why the Lord's been leading me in this direction. And also last week about, letting God fight your battles and so forth. Not leaning onto God, to ourselves, letting God take care of stuff and so forth. So there's a reason why God's leading me in that direction. And listen to this. I'm going to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I'm going to actually read several verses from 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and 1 Corinthians chapter 1. But I'm going to start from 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and then go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. So kind of, backwards. But that's the way I'm going to do it. So 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Now, verse 1. I, brethren, when I come to you, I came not in the excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of a spirit and of power. So that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Can you say amen? So when we preach, it's not about enticing words. It's not about grammar and so forth like that. We want the people of God to put their faith in the power of God. Hallelujah. Now listen to this. Howbeit, we speak the wisdom among them that are perfect. Not the wisdom of this world exactly, nor of the princes of this world, that their wisdom come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Amen. Even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world began. Now, none of the princes of this world knew that kind of mystery or that wisdom. For if they had known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. But don't stop there. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. Amen. 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 That's right. God has revealed them to us by his Spirit. For the Spirit of God searches all things, even the deep things of God. Now, what man knoweth the things of man except the Spirit of man that is in him? Even so, the things of God knows no man. No man knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. But we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God. Amen. That we might know the things which are freely given us of God. I'm going to read the scriptures and then I'm going to say a few things. Now, the things that we speak, verse 13. We don't speak them, say, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. Folks, when we preach the Word of God, it's not about academics. It's not about head knowledge. It's about the wisdom of God, which the Holy Spirit teaches. Now, and when we do that, we're comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. We understand, what God is doing in the Spirit. He says, look, the natural man cannot receive the things of God. So the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. And he cannot know them, because they are spiritually discerned. So the natural man cannot discern things of the Spirit. They don't understand it. So we can come here, if you are in the flesh, we can be speaking things here concerning the Spirit of God and so forth like that. You can't understand it. You just won't make any sense to you. And if you don't understand something, you know, you can't really walk in them, or you can't really believe it. You know, you have to understand. You know, there, you know, the Bible says that, you know, in the parable of the sower in Matthew chapter 13, he said, the ones, you know, that did not have any understanding. You know, so they didn't have understanding, and the devil comes and he catches the word from their heart because they have no understanding at all. You know, so we see that understanding the things of the Spirit is very important. You know, so now he says, verse 15, the spiritual man, he that is spiritual, he judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. You know, for who had known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Amen. Amen. So I want to talk the mind of Christ in the wisdom of God and in the power of God. And this chapter, even though I read it kind of, you know, first before I read chapter 1, in my mind is going to lead to what I want to read now in chapter 1. So I'm going to go back to chapter 1. Now that was a foundation. We're talking about the wisdom of God. We're talking about, we don't want the people's mind. We don't want your faith to be based in the excellency of speech or how well I can preach and so forth like that. You know, we want your faith to be based upon the wisdom of God, the power of God. And we're going to see how the wisdom of God works here in a minute. So let's go to chapter 1 of 1 Corinthians. Now, I'm going to start at verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us that is saved, that are saved, it is the power of God. Amen. You know, people don't, you know, understand why we have to preach the cross. You know, there is no other way, folks, that you can be saved without the preaching of the cross. Jesus died on the cross and he rose again for our justification. Hallelujah. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Now, I want to compare something here. I want to compare the wisdom of God, how God does his things, with the way people do their things. You know, so it's still all part of the series of leaning not on your understanding, but trusting in the Lord. Now, let's look at the wisdom of God. You know, he says, where is the wise and where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? See, those that think they are wise in their own eyes or in their own conceits, where are they? Well, hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. See, God already, see, in God's wisdom, you know, the world doesn't know God. Because they try to figure God out, or they try to do, you know, try to make their own laws and not follow God's ways. And so they've already missed the mark. See, that's what the Bible is saying here. In the way of the world, they don't understand God and they've missed the mark. But it pleased God that through the very foolishness of preaching that people reject, that is the very way that God chose to save them that believe. Because that's the way he does his things. Now, on the one hand, the Jews, they require a sign. Well, they say, show us a sign if you be the Messiah and all these kind of things and so forth. You know, well, the Greeks, who are more knowledgeable, they follow after, you know, so-called wisdom, or more appropriately, knowledge. You know, they want to figure everything out, you know, and prove everything and so forth, you know, by their own understanding. Well, now, but both of them miss it. Those who are looking for a sign, they miss it. Those who are trying to get it by knowledge, they miss it. You know, the wisdom of this world. But we preach Christ crucified. Amen. Unto the Jews, a stumbling block. And unto the Greeks, foolishness. See, because these Jews, they're looking for something and God wouldn't give it to them. God's already done what he's already going to do. You know, well, like Jesus, when they come to him, they came to him and say, show us a sign and do all of these things and so forth. And Jesus said, no, there will be no sign given to this adulterous generation except the sign of Jonas the prophet. You know, and Jonas the prophet, that was thousands of years before Christ came. Christ said, well, I'm not doing, give you any other sign. Go look at that sign that's already there. Search the scriptures, for in them ye think that ye have eternal life. And they are they that testify of me, Jesus said. Amen. So, he didn't give them any other sign. Now, on the other hand, you know, the Greeks, you know, they, you know, if something is not polished and if something doesn't make logical sense and so forth, you know, they want to dissect everything by natural knowledge, you know, then they also miss it. So, listen to what he says. But unto them that are called, both to Jews and Greeks, you know, if they are the called, whether they are Jews, it doesn't matter, whether they are Greeks, it doesn't matter, we preach Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Amen?
Amen.
Now, Christ is the power of God, folks. And Christ is the wisdom of God. And if you have the mind of Christ, you will be walking in the wisdom of God. You'll not be walking in the wisdom of God. Look at the things that, look at the way the wisdom of God works. God takes the foolishness of this world to confound the mighty. That's what we're going to see here in a minute. The foolishness of God, so called, in verse 25, is wiser than men. I might actually say, let me put that scripture this way. Because the foolishness of God, so called, is wiser than the wisest of men. That's right. And the weakness of God, so called, is stronger than the strongest of men. Amen. That's right. Put all men together. If you think that God is weak in any area, he's stronger than the best of them put together. You know, and if you think that God's foolishness, the wisest men in the world, in fact, the most advanced computers in this world, you can put all the computers together, and I guarantee you those computers are way advanced, because I know what I'm talking about in that field. But, you know, all of them put together, you know, they can't even touch the Lord. Amen. The mind of the Lord is so far advanced, he doesn't need to compute anything. He already knows it. Amen. Praise ye the Lord. God doesn't, computers are so fast now, in a millisecond, they can compute certain things, but God doesn't even have to compute anything. He knows a billion years in advance. Hallelujah. He already knows everything that's in advance. He doesn't have to compute anything. He's already there. Praise ye the name of the Lord. In fact, computers are borrowing from the knowledge of God. You know, God just allowed human beings, you know, to do these things and so forth. Now, he says, but you see your calling, brethren, how that many wise men after the flesh, and many mighty, and many noble, you know, not many of them are called. See? But God has chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of this world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things in this world, and things which are despised. See? One time we preached a message, despised of men, but chosen of God. You know, God has a way that he does his things. You know, remember also the crossing of the hands. You know, when people are looking in this way, God is looking the other way. Amen. God has a way of doing things. You know, things, you know, when you, people always think that God is going to do something this way. Like the message last week, some people were looking into the arm of flesh. You say, with him is the arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord of hosts. Amen. So never look at the way the things of the world. Never look, never use your own wisdom. Never look, use your own understanding. Just trust in the Lord. Amen. Because he says, God does all these things, you know, and he takes, look, say, God has chosen the base things of this world to confound the wise and the mighty. Yea, even the things which are not. See, things which don't exist. That's what God chooses to bring to naught those things which are. So when you're looking at things and so forth, you know, God, if those things mean nothing to God. God can call things that are not as though they already are. Amen. And he does that all the time. Why does he do that? So that no flesh should glory in his presence. Hallelujah. God does all these things by himself so that no flesh will glory in his presence. Now, the wisdom of the world looks at you know, they look at affluence, they look at you know, polished grammar, they look at your position in life, you know, if you are well placed and you are well educated or whatever, you know, and if you come into an assembly and you are dressed pretty nice and so forth, the wisdom of the world will give you a better seat. You know, but if you come dressed as a shabby person, a homeless person, you know, the wisdom of the world will, you know, put you out. This is the wisdom of the world. That's the way it works. You know, I remember when we first started the church back in the old building, we used to go and bring the homeless people and so forth, you know, and we did that, you know, even sometimes in this church, you know, we in this building, and we bring the homeless people and so forth. And sometimes, you know, Some of them were filthy. They haven't washed or bathed for several days. You know, people might think, oh, my goodness, you know, and so on like that, you know. And then if somebody really nice looking, dressed pretty good, pulls up in a Mercedes Benz or whatever, you know, maybe they'll give them a nice seat in the house and so forth, you know. And the Bible says, oh, my brethren, have not the faith of God with respect of persons. Amen. Because that is the wisdom of men. But that's not the way that God works. Turn with me to the book of Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16, and I'm going to read maybe one or two verses here, perhaps starting at verse 15 or verse 16. So, let me start at, let me just read verse 15, Luke 16 and 15. And Jesus said unto them, ye are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knows your hearts. Amen. For that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. Are you still with me, folks? So the wisdom of men will look at some things, you know, in the wisdom of the world, and they think those things are highly esteemed. As far as God is concerned, that's an abomination. Doesn't mean anything to him at all. You know, the thing that is esteemed in the sight of the Lord, let me read it to you right now. What's esteemed in the eyes of the Lord? Turn to Isaiah chapter 66. And let me read to you what is esteemed in the eyes of the Lord. Isaiah, listen to this. I will read from verses 1 and 2. Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. And where is the house that ye shall build for me? And where is the place of my rest? For all those things have my hand made, heaven and earth, or anything that anybody thinks is anything at all. God made them all. You know, I mean, anything you look at, not material things that you think make people so highly esteemed, God made it all, and to him it's vanity. Doesn't mean anything to him at all. You know, my hands have all those things made, and all these things have been, said the Lord. But this is the man to whom I will look. This is the one person that's going to command God's attention. Not the affluence, not all of the things that the wisdom of the world teaches. But here is the one that's going to command God's attention. Even him, listen to this, that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. He that trembleth at my word, he that is lowly, the Bible says, mind not high things, but condescend even to men of low estate. He that puts himself down low and is contrite, always, always thinking and hoping for the salvation of the Lord and the mercy of the Lord, and above all, trembles at my word. That's the one that God has respect unto. So trembling at the word of God. You know, time would fail me to tell you of many stories in the Bible. You know, many, many stories in the Bible. Even one time, Ahab, the wicked king in 1 Kings 21. You know, one time, Manasseh, the son of Hezekiah. Hezekiah's father was a good man. And he followed after the Lord, like his father David, and so forth. Well, Manasseh came along and, you know, just doing all kinds of things and made Israel to go a whoring after other gods and all these kind of things. But one time when the word of the Lord came, see, you know, they trembled at the word of God. And they said, my lands, you know, this is what God says, you know, and when God brought judgment. And when they trembled and walked softly, even the Bible says God would have mercy and even move the evil down, you know, a little further. Even the wicked king Ahab, when he trembled at the word of God, when God spoke judgment against him, and he trembled, he put ashes on his head, and he walked softly before the Lord. The Lord said, see how this wicked Ahab has done, you know, and so forth like that, you know, and he trembled at my word. So God, you know, pushed back the evil, and so forth. And I remember a young man, his name was Josiah, you know, down through the line there of one of the grandchildren of Hezekiah. He began to reign when he was 8 years old. You know, and by the time he was 26, he was doing good things, cutting down the high groves and all of these things where people worship other gods and so on. And one day, you know, they you know, he asked the scribes and so forth. They brought the word of the Lord. They brought the writings of Moses, the law and so forth. You know, and I remember when they read those things before him, he said, wow, I'm finished. This is the word of the Lord. You know, he just trembled and, you know, he trembled at the word of the Lord. And immediately he heard the word and he began to straighten himself out and do all of these things and so forth like that. You know, and God, you know, had, you know, respect unto him, because, you know, when the Lord sees that you tremble at his word, that's how God, that's actually the wisdom of God, how it's measured in your life. You know, it's not by whatever else we can be doing in life. You know, it is how you take the word of God. Now, if you don't take the word of God, which, first of all, you have in this Bible, and secondly, it's preached every week after week on this platform and on this, you know, in these services. If you don't take this word of God, you take them lightly, for instance, and then, you know, you don't tremble at the word of God, you know, then that's the foolishness, you know, of man. See, now, the wisdom of God will teach you. The wisdom of God that is from above is, first of all, you know, peaceable, it's pure, it's easy to be entreated. It will teach you to listen to the word of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, that's everything that is in this Bible. You know, everything that we are commanded in this Bible. When the Bible says, you know, children, obey your parents, you know, and so forth like that, that's in this Bible. You know, if you think you know better or you are too smart and so forth like that, well, that's your foolishness. You know, you better do as the Lord says. Amen. When the Bible says, obey them that have the rule over you, in Hebrews chapter 13, and who have labored over you in the word of God and so forth, for they watch for your souls, you know, so that not that they will, you know, say, you know, condemn you and so forth, but they have to give account for your souls. And if you don't obey, you know, and who are those that have the rule over you? That's the pastors and the leaders in the church. When we come out and say, do this and do that and so forth, you know, and you don't do it, well, that's the wisdom of men. The wisdom of God will teach you to submit yourselves. And if you submit yourself, then God is going to bless you. Amen. This is the man to whom I will look, he that trembleth at my word. Now, in closing, let me say this. I didn't want to preach too long today. I want you to know that God has set, you know, everything to be judged by his word. Everything. The Bible said it, Jesus said it himself. Hey, look, I'm not judging anybody, but the word that I have spoken will judge at the last day. So we will be judged by the word of God. You know, this word that God has given us, that's what he will judge us by. This word, you know, in another place, we're told about the doctrine of Christ. What is the doctrine of Christ? You know, it's the word of God. You know, now, if you don't know, or you don't understand, or you rebel against the word of God in your heart, then how's God really going to bless you? You know, so when God has, you know, when God has told you, don't take matters into your hands. You know, let God do things for you. Don't use your own wisdom. Don't use your understanding. You know, we need to follow the precepts of the Lord. If we're not following the precepts of the Lord, you know, we're just leaving God out of the picture, and then he'll just be looking and say, well, you know, let them do their thing. And then in the day of their calamity, I will also laugh and have them in derision, you know, because they didn't follow my word. You know, so you say, well, will God do that? Well, sure, because the word of God has said it. You know, if we don't follow his ways, and if we don't choose the wisdom of God, then we are choosing the wisdom of the world, or we are choosing our knowledge. And remember, God doesn't need any help. You know, God will do what he has said he will do. What we must do is we must believe the Lord. You know, choose the wisdom of God. Never mind what the wisdom of the world says. You know, people who are ungodly will even give you counsel. You know, what's that all about? You know, choose the wisdom of God. Praise the name of the Lord. The wisdom of God is found in the word of God and in the men and women of God that are filled by the Spirit of God. You know, you must choose God's ways and God's wisdom and not the ways of the world. And the power of God also lies in the word of God. Hebrews 4 and 12 says, the word of God is quick and powerful. And it is sharper than any two-edged sword. And he knows how to pierce, you know, asunder, you know, divide the spirit and the soul and all this, go into your conscience, prick your hearts and so on. And it can even, the word of God will go into your bones and marrows to bring healing. Hallelujah. The word of God is complete. And he said the word of God is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The word of God makes everything to be naked. Say we are all naked before him with whom we have to do. So the Lord, he brings that word, and he has brought this word, and we must follow that word. But how will you follow that word if you don't even know what it says? You must read this word. That's where the wisdom of God comes. Praise ye the name of the Lord. It's not just by, age, you know, alone. Well, you know, age gives certain wisdom and so forth, you know, human wisdom and experience and so forth. But, you know, Job's younger friends, maybe Elihu or whatever his name was, he said, look, I waited for age to speak. You know, I waited for the gray beard to speak and so forth. Because I said, well, wisdom of years, let them speak and so forth. But they couldn't convince him. So he said, well, let me say what I know by the Lord. You know, so, you know, it's not exactly how many years we've lived in this world or how many years we've been to school and so on and all that. But it is by the word of God. And if you can get that word of God inscribed in your hearts, if you can do everything that you do in your life based on the word of God, that's the wisdom of God. And that's where the power of God comes in. And there is no way that you can lose when you are following the word of God. Hallelujah. Let's put our hands together for Jesus as we stand to our feet here this morning. Praise the Lord. A short exhortation for us this morning: to follow the wisdom of the Lord and not the wisdom of men. Know ye all today, hear ye one and hear ye all, that God is not necessarily impressed with the things that people hold in high esteem. The only thing that impresses him is the person that trembles at his word. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's have the praise team come on back up. And as they prepare to sing, you all may also prepare your offering. We're switching this part of the service to the offering service. And remember, when you give your offering, it is also part of worship. I give willingly unto the Lord, and the Lord will bless your hearts. Amen. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. I will just read this to praise and to magnify the Lord. As we brought our offerings to him, let us also exalt his name together. Amen. Praise the Lord. Listen to this in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 10 and verse 6. For as much as there is none like unto thee, O Lord, thou art great, and thy name is great in might. Amen. Thy name is great in might. Who would not fear thee, O King of nations? For to thee it doth appertain. For as much as among all wise men of the nations, remember the message, all wise men of the nations and in their kings, there is none like unto thee, O Lord. Amen. Verse 10. For the Lord is the true God. He is the living God and an everlasting King. At his wrath the earth shall tremble, and the nations shall not be able to abide his indignation. Amen. Now listen to this in Jeremiah chapter 32. We're just going to give praise to the Lord and exalt him. Jeremiah 32 and verse 17. Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and thy stretched out arm, and there is nothing that is too hard for thee. Hallelujah. Thou showest loving kindness unto thousands, and recompensest the iniquity of the fathers unto the bosom of their children and after them. The great, the mighty God, the Lord of hosts is his name. Great in counsel and mighty in work. For thine eyes are open unto all the ways of the sons of men, to give everyone according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. Who has set signs and wonders in the land of Egypt, even unto this day, and in Israel and among other men, and has made thee a name as it is this day. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And has given them, he says, and has brought forth thy people Israel out of the land of Egypt with signs and with wonders, with a stretched out arm and so forth, and with great terror. And has given them this land and this swear to their fathers and so forth like that. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Amen. Listen to this. In 1 Samuel chapter 2. 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 2. I just feel like reading this things unto the Lord. 1 Samuel chapter 2, and let's read from verse 2. He says, I will even start from verse 1. And Anna prayed and said, my heart rejoiceth in the Lord. Mine horn also is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over my enemies. And I get amen on that. Because I rejoice in thy salvation. There is none holy as the Lord. For there is none beside thee, O God. Neither is there any rock like our God. Talk no more so exceedingly proudly. Don't even let arrogancy come out of your mouth. For our God and our the Lord is a God of knowledge. And by him all actions are weighed. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus. The bows of the mighty men are broken. Remember, God takes the base things of this world, confound the wise. The bows of mighty are broken. And they that stumbled, even the weak things, they are the ones that receive strength. Those that are stumbled and thought they had no strength, they are now girded with strength from the Lord. Amen. Amen. They that were full, they fired themselves out for bread. And they that were hungry and so forth. Well, the Lord, he maketh even the barren woman to keep house and to be a joyful mother of children. Amen. Amen. The Lord does all these things. And he says, he raised up the poor out of the dust. Amen. And he baketh the beggar out of the dunghill in verse 8. And all these things and so forth. And he said, oh, the Lord knows what he's doing, and the Lord, he's the one that receives the praise. For in his presence, no flesh shall glory. For by strength shall no man prevail. In verse 9. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Listen to this. Exodus chapter 15 and verse 11. I just want to read the praises of the Lord in these things. Exodus 15 and verse 11. Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like unto thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, and doing wonders? Hallelujah. Amen. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Father, we love you and we thank you. We glorify your name and we praise you, Lord. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness. Thine is the power and the glory. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. And thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches, O Lord, and honor come from thee. And thou reignest over all. And in thy hand, O Lord, is power. And in thy hand is might. And in thy hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now, O Lord, our God, we thank you. And we praise your glorious name. And who are we, O Lord, that we should offer so willingly today after this sort? For out of the abundance of the things that you have given us, we are brought back unto you. And the Lord said, shall a man indeed give a gift to his maker? Shall you bring gifts to the Lord, seeing that my hands have made all these things? Seeing that the heaven is mine, the earth is mine, the cattle on a thousand hills are mine? And seeing that I have made all these things, and seeing that the heavens of heavens cannot even contain him, shall ye then bring, shall mortal man bring a gift to his maker? But behold, saith the Lord, for those that do it in obedience to my word, even my blessing shall follow them. Amen. Yeah. Hallelujah. The Lord said, if I were hungry, will I ask you? If I needed anything, will you be the one to supply it to me? Do you think in your heart that this offering that you brought is what is going to make me become anything? Seeing that my hands have made all things, and before the war began, I already am God. But because you do it in obedience to my word, and because you tremble at my word, therefore my blessing shall follow you, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Give the Lord the praise and glory for that. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Now, Lord, bless all your people that have brought the blessing into the house of the Lord, and rebuke the devourer for their sakes, even as it is written, in Jesus' name. Now, those things that will devour your wealth, you know, sickness that will come in and make you run helter-skelter, go to hospital, spend money on doctors and so forth, those things are devourers. And in the name of the Lord Jesus, we rebuke them. And we command them to be far from you in Jesus' name. And the Lord shall open upon you his good treasure. Hallelujah. The heaven to give rain unto you, even the earth to sing before you, the trees of the field to clap their hands before you, the mountains and the hills to break forth before you, in the name of the Lord Jesus. For ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall celebrate your success. If you believe that, you can say amen.
Amen.
Now, Lord, it is so spoken, and so let it be. In Jesus' mighty name. And everybody says,
amen.
Amen. Give me Lord a hand clap. Hallelujah. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. We're going to close with this worship song. You are worthy of it all.
You are worthy of it all.
Lift up your hands and give praise unto the Lord.
For from you are all things.
From you are all things, Lord.
And to you are all things. You deserve the glory.
You are worthy of it all. Agree with that, say amen. Hallelujah. Now the Lord bless and keep every one of you. Cause you to be above only and never beneath. The Lord make you lenders and never borrowers. Hallelujah. The Lord cause you his favor to pass and his goodness to pass before you. And the mercy of the Lord be with you and yours always in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Let's share the grace together. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, fellowship of the Holy Spirit, be with us now and forevermore. Amen. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. Everybody says, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen.